are back on Canuck Central. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah, here in the Kintec studio. Lots still to come on the program, including a mailbag. Your questions for us here on a Friday.
Yeah.
Sat put out the prompt earlier today. Josh is compiling the best questions from you, the listener. And of course, if you want to get some extra ones in, you can always do so. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. We may have time for some mailbag overflow after 5:30.
Yes, we will. We'll check into some live NHL hockey action as well.
Currently, the Washington Capitals up 1-0 on Les Habitants in Montreal. Connor McMichael with his third goal of the season. He's turned into quite the player.
Connor McMichael. He has. He really has. He's fantastic to watch. A lot of speed. Mm-hmm. Has a power to his game. And I mean, that's just another player that has really developed for the Capitals, and that's why they've turned things around. And yeah, Alex Ovechkin.
They've really drafted well, man.
It's unreal. I mean, that's what you have to do, but they've hit it. It's kind of like what the Stars did.
Yeah.
They've kind of emulated that. And whether it's getting lucky or drafting well and developing well, it's worked out for them, and that's why they're being able to take advantage of the twilight of Alex Ovechkin's career that looks like the prime of many other goal scorers' careers.
Yeah. So they in the last 3 years, they've had Ryan Leonard, who's playing games for them here in the playoffs.
He's so good. He's so much fun to watch.
He's a very fun player. In the 2022 draft, they only have Ivan Marashnichenko, who has played their first rounder from that year, 20th overall, 10 points in 39 games. The year prior to that, 2021, zero players. And then Hendrix Lapierre from 2020, who's played games. But it's the 2019 draft and the 2018 draft where they've really gotten a couple of great finds. Connor McMichael was in 2019. Alexi Protas was in 2019 as a third rounder. They only had four picks in that draft. Three of the four picks have already played over 200 games in the show. And then in 2018, they got Martin Fehervati in the second round, and also Alexiev, who's playing games for them here in the playoffs. So,
told you guys a couple years ago that Fehervari's a pretty good player.
Yeah, but also, what else do you learn from that exercise? It takes 5 years for these guys to come through.
Takes time.
It takes 5 years for them to come through. Remember that.
Well, that's what I say about guys like, you know, like Lekromäki. He's a player to be excited about, and maybe he does what some of these Capitals prospects are doing and becomes a big time core producer, but it's still years away from getting there.
Yeah.
It's just being realistic about it.
Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for these guys to really develop and find their way in the NHL level. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. I mean, people were calling McMichael a bust not that long ago, and now look at him. I mean, he's got 100 points in 230 games. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Let's get to the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is still no deal done for Rick Tocchet. He's back in town, but still no deal done for Rick Tocchet.
He's chilling.
Still no deal done for Tom Vilander. He is playing games with the Swedish national team ahead of the World Championships. He's playing in some of their exhibition matchups. Still no deal done there.
Nope.
And just constant discussion points. Why hasn't this got done?
Yeah.
What's going on with Tocchet? Why haven't they gotten it done? Is he going to look at other teams? If this is the guy, gotten it done?
Reach. You're making
why
a lot
haven't
of,
they gotten
reach.
It's $200,000 apart for Vilander.
You're making a lot of noise. Please stop.
Well,
please, you're making a lot of noise.
The Canucks are noisy.
They are.
Why is it so noisy all around? Why can't they just, like, get business done?
I mean,
it seemed like they found a nice groove for a time last year, you know?
Yeah.
Things were quiet enough.
It was, and then it wasn't with the Pettersson thing still, right?
Yeah.
You know, putting pressure on him to sign ahead of the deadline and all that. So there was still noise. It was like, would they actually trade him?
Even around Jim Rutherford's contract extension, there was a little bit of noise around that.
So this whole idea of they were winning last year and it wasn't noisy, there was still noise. They made trades. Now, trades were fun.
There was less noise.
Yeah, there was less noise. And you know what it was? No, there was less negative noise.
Oh, that's fair.
You know, there was noise, but it was like, they might trade Pettersson? Really? Yeah. Are they going to do that? Or like, what's going on? Is he going to sign? Is he not going to sign? Does he want to stay? Does he not want to stay? All these things were kind of going on. And like Yannick mentioned, that's just part of a Canadian market. But by God, it's too noisy here in Vancouver right now.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
And, even just to get your coach done.
Yeah, and you see, okay, like now, we've always said this, that you have to be careful trying to apply the temperature you get on social media to the entire fan base as a whole and the paying customers. There's not always a direct line. However, you are seeing a lot more anger and frustration in the responses we get on the text inbox. You see it on social media as well. And a lot of it now is being directed at the organization as a whole. And are they spending enough money now? You know, practice facilities becoming a topic of conversation, you know, and all these things, right? And then now it's clear that it's a, and I mentioned this on Monday, that what they're trying to figure out with Talkit right now isn't direction, it's monetary compensation.
Yeah.
That's what they're negotiating. Tom Vilander, it's about bonuses. And most of this money won't even get paid. So, like, why is a few hundred thousand dollars holding this entire process up? Now, listen, it's April 25. You're not playing games. It you know, like, in the big picture, does it matter the noise that happens in April if you get the job done and do a good job in the offseason? No, yeah. It doesn't matter. But it's, you know, there's always something. And yeah. it always seems to be complicated as well. And maybe it's just being a Canadian market, but it's exhausting where every other day there's like a new little wrinkle about something that comes out. Now, obviously, that's reporting. That's just the way it is. But I do think organizationally, that's something they're going to have to get a handle on for next year, heading into when the season begins. Can it be less noisy? Can you control some of that? And I love the honesty from Jim Rutherford and how he comes up and says things. But like sometimes like it's to a detriment. Like, for instance, the whole Quinn Hughes thing. And not to say that you shouldn't be honest about Quinn Hughes and you know, and provide a window into what's going on. But it kind of creates some panic.
Yeah.
And now there's a huge conversation about Quinn Hughes' future because the president himself said the quiet part out loud that, hey, he may not be here. He may want to play with his brothers. So if he's mentioning this as a possibility, you don't think everybody else is going to think about this and talk about this a bit more? So I think things like that just create more noise. And at the end of the day, it comes down to being good on the ice and making the right moves and nobody cares. But I think everyone would do a lot better.
Yeah.
If it was less noisy around the team,
it would be nice. If it was, excuse me, if it was a little bit less noisy around the team, it would be nice if, like, yeah, some things are just better left unsaid, you know? The Hughes thing, better left unsaid.
Yeah. I mean, especially with
Hughes
the way
he's going
to
get asked about it, and it's not a big deal. Like, you know, Hughes was probably going to get asked about his contract no matter what. But like, did you have to say that he's admitted he wants to go play with his brothers? Like, I can't remember the exact interview where Quinn Hughes,
I think it was,
openly said that. But
I think it's one of those things too. In the interview, he mentioned like, if you were asked,
yeah,
if you let's say you had two brothers playing in the National Hockey League, hey, Reach, would you like to play with your brothers one day?
Sure, why not?
Obviously, yeah. Like, obviously, yeah. Right? But
no, I hate my brothers.
Now, is Rutherford saying that because he read in an article?
Yeah.
Or is it more likely that he has a sense, perhaps, because he's a player in his organization, a very important player in his organization he has a relationship with?
Yeah.
And maybe he was just joking and went a bit too far, but it just kind of goes back to, can they quiet things around heading into next season? Because I do think this team needs that. And look at the players talking about how they were distracted this year with everything going on.
Yeah.
And they talk about creating a safe environment for the players and the organization.
They haven't done that.
And that has to happen. That has to come through. You can't talk about it as much as they've talked about it and then have it not come through, right? Like, that has to be something that has to happen heading into next year.
How many times did Besser say that the noise affected the team this year?
And again, like, listen, some of that is out of your control because you have a rabid media and we're part of it too. We're guilty as well. If I hear things that I can report on, I speak about them, and sometimes they're not comfortable things.
Yeah.
You know, like going back to the JT stuff earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, man, is this going on? And like, we're kind of reporting on this. And it's like, I don't feel good about talking about these things, but this is the truth. People are like, well, why are you guys sensationalizing? I'm like, I'm not sensationalizing, guys. I'm just telling you what's going on. Whether you like it or not, this is something that's going on. And hopefully you can figure it out. And we saw what happened at the end, right? But so some of those things, of course, but I think, as you move forward, the things you can control with how you message things, that has to cool the environment more than light the environment or fuel the environment more than it does.
Well, and it just goes into so many different things with JT and Pettersson, with how they've handled Brock Besser's situation, you know, what Patrick Alvin said, even if it was unintentional the way that it came off. It did come off that way. And now all of a sudden you've upset the guy that's now eighth all time in goals scored for franchise history unnecessarily. There's always a lot around this team. And with Rick Tocchet, it's like, yeah, he's our guy. We like what Rick Tocchet's doing. So why haven't you gotten it done yet? It's obvious to everybody that Rick Tocchet is coveted by other teams, coveted by and liked by a lot of other personnel mm-hmm. around the league. There's six current openings,
mm-hmm.
some with original six teams, some that have deeper pockets potentially than the Vancouver Canucks. So you know that a potentially bigger offer could be out there for Rick Tocchet should he be allowed to go and explore that route, which he isn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, the negotiation, somebody's going to have to blink.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems silly to me because you've made it so clear this is your guy.
Yeah.
So figure out how to get it done and move on with your offseason.
Yeah, honestly, like on the talk of thing, that to me, I'm not as like, on. I get the frustration and I know people want to get things done and you look at the money thing in turn. Like to me, the Verlander thing is more like perplexing because it's like money that he may not even get.
Right.
It's like, what are we fighting about here? You know? Yeah. And then this kind of becomes, again, it's becoming a philosophical battle, which I'm just like, get over it and figure it out. Right.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like on the talk of thing, to me, it's just negotiation and everything. Nothing's changed. And I hate doing the no update, but everything I said on Monday still holds today. The Canucks still feel like they're going to get the coach signed. Nothing's happened so far, at least so far, that has derailed the discussions. It's about money and there's a bridgeable gap here.
Yeah.
And the timeline, I know Rutherford came out and said by the end of this week. Now, what's your definition of the end of the week? Is it Friday?
Is it Sunday?
Right. So
is it Saturday?
So
Sunday technically is the first day of the week.
And it's pretty clear. Yes. And it's pretty clear to me that unless we get an announcement coming up after 6 p.m., which very well could happen because that happens to us quite often on this show, that this is likely
going
to drag.
Please don't do that,
C-Mac. I don't know if it's up to him.
He just did.
Yeah, he just did. Now it's going to happen at 5. Yeah. He's going to kick it back just to spite us. But I think, and I mentioned this on Monday too before Rutherford spoke, that the Canucks want to get this done soon and there's a hope to get it done within the week, but it can drag into next week. Like I think there's a timeline of end of the month, which gets to what, Wednesday of next week?
Yeah.
So I've all along viewed it as, okay, that's going to be the window here. So to me, it's not being signed today. It's not that big of a deal. Now, Rutherford himself came out and said end of the week. So that creates more urgency as far as mm-hmm. how people view it, right? But from what I had heard, it was always towards the end of the month. And I'm not as concerned about the Tocchet thing until we get to next week. That's kind of where I'm at, you know, with Tocchet. The Verlander thing, and I know I asked about this, I asked specifically, do you guys feel like this can like sour your relationship with the player? And the answer was no, they're not there. Does it get there? I don't know. I can't speak for Verlander, right? But I don't know if either situation is dire yet.
Mm-hmm.
On the Tocchet thing, I mentioned that the other day. Let's say the gap is around $400K to $500K per year, which is what it looks like. That's a bridgeable gap.
Yeah.
And if you want to make a deal, you'll make a deal. So unless something changes again, they're probably going to get something done over the next few days.
And the other part of the Verlander, I mean, look, Abbotsford's playing tomorrow night, mm-hmm. Do or Die Game 3. But like at this point,
he's probably not playing Abby games anymore.
Yeah, you're like, okay, like this can wait till September now.
Well, there has to be frustration that he's not there. Like, let's say, okay.
There should be frustration that he's not there. I think could be games and development time he could be having right now.
I think you can talk about it from management's perspective, the ones that are negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people that want to see him organizationally playing because they're trying to develop the player and bring him along, right? And I think it's clear that people want to have him play games. And there's frustration that he hasn't been here playing games. But it's not yet at a point where the relationship is fractured.
Yeah.
But until a deal gets signed, like, you know what I mean? Like,
if he does play games for Sweden at the World Championships, like,
is he going to make the team?
Probably not, but he's playing exhibition games right now. I guess you could consider that somewhat a bit of development.
But that's
for
not
a
you
young get, player.
Yeah, but that's not you getting him to your organization.
Exactly.
Like the goal was to get
not
him
the
done.
Same thing.
The goal was for him to be there with Abbey.
Yes.
To begin like day one.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened.
And so this is development time missed now for your top prospect on defense. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. The other element of this, and it's part of the elephant in the room that Rick Tocchet is still taking bites out of. How does this look to other people around the league, and specifically players around the league? What's happened with Pettersson? Hughes becoming a talking point. JT and Pettersson's dirty laundry getting laid out in the media, even though it was well reported on already, because you can't keep things quiet in the small town of Vancouver. But to publicly comment on it gives it credence, more credence for everybody to have an opinion on it, right? Once Jim Rutherford did that with the Globe and Mail, and on and on and on. We always known everywhere. There's almost a fair blanket statement that it's tougher for Canadian teams to acquire players, mm-hmm. especially in free agency. There's a bit of a premium you have to pay, but it feels like Vancouver is doing themselves no favors in being a destination city for potential free agents and otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably not an unfair statement at the same
time. Or keeping your name off of no trade lists for other players,
right.
too.
Now, ultimately, in free agency, one thing rules, and that's money.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
that's... But you have to overpay.
Yeah, for sure. But generally, you overpay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's only very few teams. Like, how often have...
Like,
the
Nashville didn't not overpay for Stamkos,
yeah.
for example. Right?
And the Canucks, even with Jake DeBrusque, they probably went to the extra year. I think that's the thing. I don't know if Edmonton was willing to go to 7 years. Vancouver did.
Yeah.
So ultimately, like, you paid more than anybody else did.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you're always overpaying, or mm-hmm. like that's what free agency is all about. So I think money rules ultimately, but that's what we're talking about. Like, we went from last year talking about how, hey, heading into this offseason, this is a place that you can sell very positively. Is that something you're going to be able to do this offseason? Well, we're going to find out, because last year we heard a lot of positives about, hey, guys wanted to come here the year prior as well. Is that going to be something we're going to hear this year?
Yeah. I mean, look, they did get... and convinced guys like Teddy Bluger to come here in the past, and Kiefer Sherwood. They weren't the only team in on Kiefer Sherwood, and they convinced him to sign with Vancouver. But ultimately, like, these aren't the most coveted free agents, the high paid free agents, and you know, for veteran types. And we talked about this, touched on this a little bit yesterday, but you know, I just don't see a world where the Duchesnes or Tavares or any of those types are willing to come to Vancouver on a short-term deal.
No, I'm not even sure that any of those players or any players like that have ever really looked at Vancouver as a place you want to come to.
It's really unless you are absolutely seen league-wide as a true contender.
Yeah, and it's also like markets like Florida, Dallas, for instance, and the tax rate going to it as well. But yeah, the Canucks have challenges, and that's why maybe this is the free agent year where you're okay with it, because there aren't a lot of guys to go after.
Yeah, but I would say, like, the whispers around the league are that, like, yeah, Vancouver is not a destination for pretty much anybody right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. You know, but like I said, ultimately, people say that, but if you offer more money than anybody else, like, people still want to get paid.
Yeah.
Everyone has a price, Reach. You know, that's why, like, I agree with you. I think they're not a destination at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But money also always talks, right?
All right. We're going to dive more into your Canucks questions when we get to the mailbag here in a little bit. But the playoff central roundup here, as mentioned earlier, the Abbotsford Canucks losing 4-1 last night to Tucson. We'll have a decisive game 3 at Abbotsford Center tomorrow night. Tickets are available at abbotsford.canucks.com for that decisive game on a Saturday night in Abbey. Shelov started a second straight game, made 28 of 31 saves. Linus Karlsson scored the lone goal. Kyler Yamamoto was among the goal scorers for Tucson.
Yeah.
Wow, what? It's crazy, man. Like, that guy, he's actually made quite a bit of money.
No, he's
not old either, but he's just like an NHL guy now.
He's making $3 million per year. Did he get bought out at the end?
I think
that's
he did.
What happened, right? And super talented player coming out, and it looked like he was going to really click, and then
it just didn't.
Well, it's one of those things that you see is there are a lot of areas of his game where he gets overpowered, overwhelmed, and if you can't trust the guy, and you're not big, if you can't trust the guy and you're too small to win your battles consistently, it doesn't matter if you have talent, right? And that's what kind of what happened with him.
So interesting. As Abby will try to stay alive in the Calder Cup playoffs. Need a win tomorrow in a do-or-die game against Tucson at the Abbey Center. Nick Cousins and the Senators were both fined. Cousins about $2,000 and change. The Senators a $25,000 fine as Cousins was caught flipping pucks during warm-up toward Anthony Stolarz, Leafs goaltender.
Yeah, I saw some people get mad about I get it, it's the playoffs. Everybody's, wound up and on edge. And there are people comparing it to Ovechkin with, I think it was the Vegas goalies, skating towards them a little bit or whatever. And it's like, it's a fine. Who cares? Move on. Like, he's clearly trying to rattle his former teammate's cage a little bit here, but you're not supposed to do that. So you get fined. You get suspended. Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, I'd be choked if I was Michael Andlauer. It's like you were flipping pucks at this guy. It didn't work. Now we're down 3-0 and I got to shell out 25K.
Yeah.
What the hell, bro? I know he's rich, but it's still 25K.
Yeah.
All right. Brandon Hagel. He will have a hearing for a hit on Barkov. Barkov's status for game 3 still up in the air.
He done. That did doesn't not make good.
Yeah, it didn't look good. I'm hoping Barkov's okay just from a pure hockey fan perspective, but also there's no reason for Paul Maurice. You're not going to give injury updates in the playoffs anyways, but like until there's a decision on...
Yeah, you play it very coy.
Yeah, you play it very coy until there's a decision from the Department of Player Safety here. It was, I mean, the puck's not there. So
no, it's not.
Barkov doesn't have the puck, you can't hit him.
It's clear interference, and he injured the player.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it's...
Could be a one-game suspension for Brandon Hagel.
It could be... You think it's more than one?
It could be lights early for Tampa Bay Lightning, man.
Do you think it could be a two-game suspension? I think it's one, but do you think if Barkov's hurt, they give him two?
I think it ends up being one.
Yeah, because, that's what I think too, because it's the playoffs.
Yeah, and Hagel's a guy with a decent reputation. Leafs took a 3-0 series lead on the Senators with a Simon Benoit overtime goal yesterday. Check that off on your bingo card. Jets got smoked by the St. Louis Blues 7-2. Should the Jets be raising some panic? Have some panic in this series?
They're up 2-1.
It's been a real close series. Blues have been good. Yeah, Blues haven't been too far off the pace.
You don't panic unless you're down in the series.
No, that's fair.
They're up 2-1. They win game 4.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a series over.
Hellebuck didn't look good in game 1 or game 3.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, he's given them, two bad games.
Yeah.
How many more is he giving?
I don't know. Connor Hellebuck in the playoffs. He gives a lot of bad games.
Yeah. Do you think he's washed?
No, he's just bad in the playoffs.
Probably played too many games.
Yeah, that's true.
That usually what happens. He plays too many games. But yeah, I'm not concerned about the Jets yet.
And maybe the biggest surprise of the postseason, Minnesota, with a 2-1 series lead over the Vegas Golden Knights. Kaprizov and Boldy have been dominant. They've really outplayed Jack Eichel and Mark Stone.
Well, it's like what we talk about. It's having stars. And even for Vancouver last year, and it's like, okay, the Canucks, they may not be as good as some of those teams, like Florida even, for instance, right? And even it seems like the Dallas Stars last year. But at any given moment, they can have the best player on the ice.
Yeah.
They had Quinn Hughes. They had JT Miller. You had Pettersson. If these guys can play at their best, they can win you a series. And that's what you're seeing from Minnesota right now. It doesn't mean they're going to win the series, but Kaprizov, Boldy, Joel Eriksson-Ek, you got, game breakers like that. They can win you a few games. They can steal you a series, and that's what the Wild are trying to pull off.
And there was some rumblings of Carolina having difficulty with their negotiations for Nikishin, the top defenseman that is not in the National Hockey League right now. He's been Carolina property for a long time. So if you're all upset about Tom Volander like I am, Canucks aren't the only team that are haggling over bonuses with one of their young defense prospects. All right. Coming up, we'll get to the mailbag here on Canucks Central. Your questions for us. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. You are listening to Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drans. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.